And thank you for that information about the second thing that I knew was there, but didn't announce it. Well, some interesting things the sermon had and the songs tie into what I wanted to talk about today. And the title of what I have to say is, which Old Testament laws do we live by? A lot of people have questions on that, so I'll say it again. Which Old Testament laws do we live by? Which Old Testament laws should New Testament Christians live by? All of them? None of them? Or only selected ones? If the answer is all of them, then how do we deal with one that says, if you buy a Hebrew slave? That's an Old Testament law. Slavery has been outlawed. Slave trading is punishable. And yet it was an Old Testament law. Do we have to live by it? If the answer is none of the laws of the Old Testament, then what about the one that says, you shall not kill, steal, or tell a lie? That's an Old Testament law. There are civil laws which punish people who commit these acts. Recently, had a lot of money. Recently, a pro football player was sentenced to life in prison for murder. He shot his friend, killed him. He lost $40 million contract because of that. And he'll be in prison for the rest of his life. And we will be paying for his food and clothes and everything else in prison. If the answer about which Old Testament laws we live by, if the answer is only selected ones, then who can say which ones are selected? And what principle is used to determine which ones are selected? That'd be kind of like, you know, every man does what's right in his own eyes. Each answer, all, none, or selected ones, each answer can be and has been made into a very compelling case. So, let's look at each of these arguments, and they are arguments. Christians, true Christians, real Christians, not so good Christians, they've argued about this. We ran into this, and we had to leave the church we were in at that time if we didn't believe in certain things. You may remember in 1995 when we were told that you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. Oh, we'll meet on it, but you don't have to keep it. And there were quite a few other things like that. And many, many people, including all of you, said, I don't believe that. I still believe. And a lot of the things we kept were Old Testament things that were also part of the New Testament. So let's look at each one of these arguments. Number one is, some say that Christians should live by all of the Bible, not just part of it. All of it, not just part of it. And there are verses in the Bible that are used to say that or prove that. So let's look at Matthew 5, verse 17. Matthew 5 and verse 17. And you will find the words of Jesus Christ himself saying this. Matthew 5 and verse 17. 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law. That's pretty clear, and Jesus is saying it. Or the prophets. Now, many know, some don't know, the Old Testament has three parts, Noah, the first five books of the Bible, then the prophets, and then, of course, the writings, or the other part. There are three of them, law, prophets, and writings. And he said, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets or the writings. I didn't come to destroy. I came to fulfill. So he's talking about Old Testament things. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law. That first part of the Bible, till all are fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches them to other people shall be called least, if he ever gets there, in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them the law, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So it seems pretty clearly that we are to live by all the Bible, not just part of it, but you will find that there are certain things now that we don't live by in the Bible, but we do believe in the Old Testament. We do believe in all of the Bible. Let's look in Luke 24, verse 44 for this one. Luke 24 and verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44 says, Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, the second section, and the Psalms, when this shows that there were the three sections of the Old Testament. And he said, I told you this when I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in these three sections concerning me. So a lot of the Old Testament talked about Jesus when he was coming, what he would do, things like that. So does this mean that all that is in those books must be lived by? He didn't list all that's in these three sections of the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the writings, but he shows very clearly that the Old Testament Bible should be used, and that he believed the Old Testament verses. Let's look in Acts 24, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul was writing to Felix at that particular time. Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. Acts 24 and verse 14 says, but this I confess to you. And he had been talking to we get to that in just a minute, to one of the governors. I profess to you that according to the way which they call a sect, that is, the Jews called the church at that time just a sect, so I worship the God of my Father, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. So Paul showed that as a true Christian, he believed in and he lived by certain things in the Old Testament. I have hope in God, which they themselves accept. So Paul showed that he believed all things in the law and the prophets. Now again, I say he didn't list all the laws, but he showed that he believed in the entire Old Testament. Then in Acts 26 and verse 22, you will find this written about, what should we keep? All of the Bible? Should we live by all of the Bible? And this is the part number one, is showing we should live by all the Bible. but not necessarily all the things that are in the Bible. It's how they are presented. Acts 26 and verse 22 says, "Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying, no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come." So here he showed that he did believe not only just in the Old Testament, but some very strong things that are written in the Old Testament. And it had to do with Christ's suffering and things like that. He used wording from the Old Testament. Now in 2 Timothy 3, verse 8, there's some very interesting information given here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. "Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses," these were two men who were hostile toward Moses, and they resisted what he said and wanted to do. These were men in the Old Testament. And yet, Paul, talking to Timothy, was making a point from these men and the Old Testament. "So do these also resist the truth," and he had been talking about those who are having a form of godliness, but denying the power, turn away from those people, he said. And he said other things about what wrong these people were. He said, "Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further." So you will find that Jannes and Jambres, who resisted the law that Moses had given, were being used by Paul to Timothy in the New Testament as to how to deal with people. I don't think we fully understood that sometimes, in how to deal with people who profess to be Christians, but their actions show they are not really. And then he also was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. "From your childhood you have known the Holy Scripture." Well, the Holy Scripture in the beginning was the three divisions, and a lot of that was all they had, and the New Testament laws and things, the New Testament writings had not yet been written to everybody, or not all had gotten it. So he said, "From a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation." So he was talking to Timothy about those laws, some being in the Old Testament, being involved in salvation. Like, you know, the Ten Commandments in Exodus. Paul spoke to Timothy from the Old Testament verses about salvation. Then let's look at one more thing, and we'll go into the next section of this. Which laws do we live by? Revelation 22, and we'll look in verse 18. Revelation 22 and verse 18 says, "I testify," this was the Apostle John, along toward the last of those things that were in the New Testament, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book," the book of Revelation, and here's what he said, "I testify to those who hear the book, if anyone adds to these things," God will add to him, meaning it won't be a nice thing, plagues. "But if anybody takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away from his part." So it shows that he is talking about New Testament things, because this is Revelation, the very last of Revelation. But notice it is talking about something that was very strong and powerful, and it came directly from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 12, beginning in verse 31. a part of the law of Moses. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 13. And I'm sorry, 31. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, worshiping the Baals. And then in verse 32, he said, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. Moses talking, God talking to Moses, Moses talking to the people. He said, don't worship God in certain ways. Don't destroy your children in certain ways. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it, but live as it is said. This is, you read it in the New Testament, Revelation 22, and yet it comes directly from Moses in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 12. So the question was, which Old Testament laws do we live by? Some say and believe that Christians should live by all the Bible, not just part of it. So we're showing here that the Bible was listed for us to live by. So, we've been seeing several scriptural references that show that Christians should use from all the Bible and be very careful about adding to or taking away. Now let's get to the next one, because this is important. The next one, about which laws of the Old Testament do we live by. Let's look at some verses used by some people to show what they say. They show that you don't need to use the Old Testament laws at all. At all. You might just say, just throw it away. Now, they may not say you don't have to live by any of these Old Testament laws. They usually put it this way, quote, the Old Covenant has passed away. It's obsolete. It's finished. We don't live by the Old Covenant. They are saying that you don't have to listen to the Old Testament laws at all. And that's what we ran into in 95. And that's why you're here instead of still there. Because that was the question. You don't need to use the Old Testament laws at all. Well, let's look in Hebrews 8 and verse 7. Hebrews 8 and verse 7, where Paul speaking, we believe it was Paul, and I guess it has yet to be absolutely, completely, and totally, and unequivocally proved that Paul was writing it, but it certainly seems to be. In Hebrews 8 and verse 7, Paul, I believe Paul did write it, Paul said, if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second covenant. Then it talks about finding fault with Israel, and the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now notice he didn't say a new law, he said a new agreement. Not according to the agreement that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt. Skipping down then to verse 13. In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. And it is obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. You don't have to keep any of those old things. This is what those people that believe this, they believe you don't need to use the Old Testament laws at all. And they will use this to prove it. Let's go, because it does say the Old Covenant. Notice it didn't say the Old Law, but the Old Covenant was decayed, waxed old, vanished, and indeed Old Covenant has passed. So you have to know the difference between what is the covenant, to whom it was given, what did he say? Then let's skim over to Hebrews 10 and verse 1. Paul says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those, and notice he said, sacrifices. We don't have sacrifices unless it's when you give your money for an offering. That might be a sacrifice. But he was talking about killing animals. Can never with those same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. So they will use this to show you don't need to keep those Old Testament laws at all. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 19. Galatians 3 and verse 19 says, what purpose then does the law serve? Why do we need to use it, live by it? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. So this shows that there is a purpose of the law, and whatever the purpose was added until the seed, that is Jesus, had come. Just keep this in mind. And I'd like to tell you beforehand, if you think, well, this seems a little garbled, what he's trying to say. There are those, and we ran into them, that believe you don't need to use the Old Testament laws at all. So I'm reading this from the viewpoint of those people who believe it that way. That's one of the arguments that many people have. You don't need to. They haven't looked at the words clearly that are being used. So we'll read it the way they think it says it. Galatians 3:19 said, what purpose has the law? Well, it was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And then in chapter 3, verse 23, we read, but before faith came, that is Jesus, because it had been talking about faith in Christ, because he gave his life for our sins. So before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. We were kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. It says the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. After faith, after Jesus, we're no longer under a tutor, meaning, and it said the law was our tutor, so that's purely saying in their mind, once the law, once Jesus came, then you're no longer under a tutor, which is the law. You no longer need to use the law. You don't need to look at any of those Old Testament laws at all. Then in Galatians 4, verse 9. Another one. Galatians 4, verse 9 says, but now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements in which you desire to be bound? And notice, he said, you observe days, you observe months, you observe seasons and years. I'm afraid lest I've labored in vain. This shows that they gave up the law because of Jesus and faith. So, in verse 10, it shows that they went to certain things rather than Jesus and faith. They went to these days, months, seasons, years, you know, like the holy days. So some say that Galatians 3 and 4 show that the law lasted till Jesus came, and then. And then what? And then what? Well, notice in chapter 5, Galatians 5, verse 1, Paul said to those who were giving up Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage, which, of course, they say is the law. And don't be entangled with a yoke of bondage, meaning the law. And yet, in the very next verse, it talks about circumcision, not the Ten Commandments. Verse 14, Galatians 5, verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word." You know what that word is? Love. Love, 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 love. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's true. But does it mean you're casting away the laws of God when you love people? Well, they kind of feel it does. And they're saying you don't need to use any of these Old Testament laws. All you need to do is love, love. Let's go to Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 13, and I'll show you how, in times past, we have been confused on this. But others, who are not only, they're not confused, they're just dead wrong in the way they do it. And they will show you here that this shows that there was a hostility, and Jesus broke that down. Well, let's get to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. Ephesians 2 and verse 14 says, well, you got to back up just a little bit to verse 11 where it says, "Remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh." So Paul was talking to Gentiles, non-Israelites, and the problem that was between the Gentiles or the non-Israelites and the Israelites. So he was saying to the Gentiles, at that time you were without Christ, meaning you didn't know the truth. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants. Didn't say laws, but the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were without God in the Word. Verse 13 then, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both what?" Well, he'd been talking about Jews and non-Jews. Had broken down the middle wall of separation. There was hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. How could you get rid of that hostility? Get rid of the law. Broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body. Paul was talking to Jews and Gentiles about the hostility between the two of them. Maybe you heard, watched about just recently, a young man in South Carolina went into the church, listened to their message, Bible study, and then he shot and killed 9 of them in that church, hoping to incite racial tension, part of it. How did he do that? He killed them, causing hostility. Well, this seems to say that there was a hostility between two the Gentiles and the Jews, and it was because of the law. And Jesus abolished the law. And let's see where it says he Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 and verse 14 says, speaking of Jesus, Colossians 2:14 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What did he nail to the cross? Well, there are many that believe he nailed the law to the cross. Yet he was the one that was nailed to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of both, triumphing. And then it says here in verse 16, since Jesus has wiped out the law, it said, so let no one judge you in the food you drink, in the food you eat. Well, maybe you do drink the food if you get the green drink, but in those days, do not let anyone judge you in the food you eat or don't eat, in what you drink, in regarding a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. Paul is plainly saying, don't let them judge you because you are keeping the Sabbath and you don't eat the unclean foods and you do go on the feasts and you have Sabbaths. But here they read it, well, they only have a shadow of things, but the substance is Jesus, so forget about all those other things. Many use these scriptures to show or prove that we should not have to live by these Old Testament laws. They say that the Old Testament laws have been done away by Jesus. And I read it the way they say it, but it isn't the way that we believe it because it shows they were misreading it and saying that Jesus wiped them all away. And they don't understand the difference between the law and the covenant. So that is the second one. There are those who believe you don't have to keep any of the Old Testament laws. And they have these in Paul's epistles that show you don't. But they're misreading it. So the third point, the third group is this. And how about this third group? They live by some of the Old Testament laws and not by some of the Old Testament laws. In other words, they keep the laws, but they don't keep all of the Old Testament laws. If we look at some of the places that talk about the life after Christ's return, when Jesus returns, he's here on this earth, it's pretty obvious that some of the Old Testament laws are being taught and lived by. I said some, because it's obvious that not all are, but some are. So let's look at some of these selected ones. And to do so, we've got to go to some places in the Bible that are called the Old Testament. To find that. The Old Testament. That old part of the Bible. Let's go to Isaiah 2. And you will find in reading several here that I'm going to read that there are many people that read, many Christians that read these and think how wonderful it is and apply the principles to themselves and their children and their church, but they don't live by the laws of the Old Testament, any of them. So, As I said, if we look at some of the places that talk about life after Christ's return to the earth to set up the kingdom, it's pretty obvious that some of the Old Testament laws are being taught and lived by. Not all, but some. So in Isaiah 2, and we'll start in verse 1. We read this all the time. There are many of the Christians of the other churches. They read this, and I think it's really wonderful. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I can get to it. The word that Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. But it is obvious when you read all this, he's talking about some things more than just Judah and Jerusalem. It says in verse 2, it'll come to pass in the latter days that the mountain or the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. In other words, the kingdom of God will be the biggest one, the best one, the greatest one. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. They won't be yanked and pulled. They will decide to go on their own, because they see that's what's being done by Israel. Not too bad after all. Many people shall come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Not to the house of God of many others. And why would they go? He's going to teach us his ways. And we will walk in his paths. And then notice the latter part of that. Because out of Zion shall go forth the law. And they're finding that's what we need to learn. Many problems are solved when people understand the law and live by it. These people are saying, we want to live by this. It said, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, he, the God of Israel, shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They'll beat their swords into plowshares. What does that tell you? They'll get rid of war and killing. They'll get rid of war. I think I've mentioned before. I went to Texas A&M. My father said, don't join the ROTC. But I did anyway. And after about a month or two or three, I realized I was being taught to kill or be killed. And I know that not everybody that goes to the ROTC is killed or kills, but that's the purpose of teaching these things. They will beat their swords into plowshares. You won't find, even if Peter did in the New Testament, the night Christ was to be murdered, Peter had a sword in his pocket, you might say. That's how he got the man's ear off. So it said they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Pruning, meaning food. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither will they learn war anymore. War is taught. What is war? Killing somebody. Getting rid of them. That's not the house of God. That's not the kingdom of God. And he said, oh, house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So you will find that many people read these laws. They think they're wonderful. And they go right on making war. They go right on not living by the law. Let's look in Isaiah 9, verse 6, one other. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For it says, and this is read often, and keep in mind this is an Old Testament point being made. For unto us a child is born. Immediately you realize this is talking about Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the leader in the kingdom of God. A child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be in Obama's hands forever. Don't laugh. That's not funny. If you even heard it, if you're listening. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Mighty God. In verse 7, of the increase of his government, peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and of his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, from this time forward, even forever. A lot of people read this and do not grasp the beauty and the glory of all of that. These are laws that many true Christians select to read because it is not just in the Old Testament. It's talking about the New Testament, the new laws, the new ways, other than the Ten Commandments. There's another one in Isaiah 58 that we read, many other churches read. It's an Old Testament teaching, and it uses this about one specific word, which is not added to what is being said by the average Christian of this society. Isaiah 58 and verse, we'll start in verse 1, read a few of the points about it. Isaiah 58 and verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not. We used to read that a lot about war and sins. Tell your people their transgressions. And the house of Jacob, those are the tribes of Israel, that they should turn to God. And said, well, they're seeking me daily anyway. They delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, they don't forsake the ordinance of God. They ask about it. They delight in approaching God. And here's what they say to God. God, we fasted, but you don't seem to pay any attention. What's wrong? And he says, well, you're not understanding the principle. And he showed them where they were doing certain things on the Sabbath and during their fasting that were not appropriate. And he said in verse 5, is this a fast, the way you're doing it, that I've chosen to afflict your life, to bow down your head like a bulrush? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of God? He said, no, this is what I have in mind when we talk about a fast. Loose the bonds of wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. Who among us doesn't occasionally have a burden, a heavy burden? They fast and nothing happens. Undo these heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And to share your food with the hungry. Billy and I go almost, at least once a month, I think it is, to the food bank in one of the cities just on the southwest corner of Columbus. And in one night, those that come fill about 9,900 boxes of food for people who don't have food. That's in our great nation, and it's getting worse and worse. Share your food with the hungry. Bring them to your house. When you see the naked, don't say, wow, look at that. No. Cover them. Don't hide yourself, meaning help them. And when you do that, he said, your light will shine forth. So here is an Old Testament guideline, law if you please, And many read it. They think it's wonderful. But let's keep reading. There's one more point in verse 13. This is chapter 58. He was talking to them about how to deal with the right things. And these are Old Testament readings. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of God and honorable, honor Him, not doing it your way, but His way. When you delight yourself, so they read that, but they skip over the word Sabbath. Just a couple of more and we'll call this quits. In Isaiah 59, verses 20 and 21, Isaiah 59 says, verse 20, according to their deeds, He will repay them. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. And then in verse 20, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob. As for me, says God, this is my covenant. Now keep in mind the word covenant. It's an agreement. He wasn't talking about a law, but a covenant, an agreement, although the law is usually involved in an agreement. As for me, this is what I want you to do. This is what I agree, and you should agree with me. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, from the mouth of descendants, from the mouth of the descendants' descendants. So he is showing that we'd already read about keeping the law and in chapter 58 about the Sabbath in verse 13, call the Sabbath a delight. So he's talking about an agreement or a covenant, the new covenant. We're not an old covenant church. We live by some of the laws that were in the old covenant, but we have a new covenant. It's about God's laws written in our heart. Written in our heart. Isaiah 66 and verse 22 is one more thing. A part of this third section. We live by some, we don't live by some. We select because we have God's law in our heart. In Isaiah 66 and verse 22, it says, as for the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, so shall your descendants and your name remain. So this is talking about when God's laws will be in their heart, and your descendants and your name will remain. Notice it said, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon, now some say, well, we don't keep the new moon. You better at least look at it if you want to know when some of the holy days come along, because they tell us when the holy day starts. So in that sense, we keep certain moons. And from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me. That's an Old Testament statement. But it's speaking about a New Testament covenant agreement. So, yes, we believe there was an Old Covenant. We are a New Covenant. Israel didn't have God's Holy Spirit. We do. We understand these things. Now let's go to one more. One more in Zechariah 14. You may have a little trouble finding Zechariah, but it's pretty close to the New Testament books. Hosea, Joel, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, there you are. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16 says, 14:16, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came upon or against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king. And that's not LeBron James. Go up year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles. And if they won't do that, there'll be some difficulties. They'll have to pay for that. So we choose that. It's an Old Testament, but think that it's speaking of the New Testament time. And we have decided that we will keep that agreement. God has made an agreement with us. So, this is a pretty strong argument proving that at least some of the Old Covenant laws are being taught by Jesus. These verses are read often by many who attend on Sunday, but they don't observe God's Sabbath. So, it looks like you can take your pick, in a sense. One of the three. Each seems to have a strong case. But it's pretty obvious that Christians should use all the Bible. But there are places that definitely show that the Old Covenant is gone. And we are not an Old Covenant church. We are a New Covenant church. Yet there are some millennial prophecies that speak of Christ teaching nations to live by the Sabbath and the Feast of Tabernacles. So what do we believe? What do we believe? What will we do? On the surface, it kind of looks confusing because I was reading what the ones that don't really understand give and what we see as truth gives. On the surface, it looks confusing, but it really isn't. And I've already given you the reason why it isn't if you grasp it at that particular time. So what do we believe? Well, there's a short answer to this question. And there's a long answer. And I think we need to understand the long explanation and answer. So, we'll continue this subject the next time I'm speaking here. I'll leave you with one clue that you can think about and study. It is true that the Old Covenant has passed away. We don't have any doubt about that. The Old Covenant was He would make Israel the greatest nation on the face of the earth. That was Israel. It's also true that we are a New Covenant people. We are a New Covenant church. So here's the clue, and it illustrates a basic error of thinking among antinomians. I deliberately used that point because I didn't understand what it meant for a while. What's an antinomian? Those who don't like the law of God. Are you an antinomian? You don't like this law of God. And here, this is the clue. It illustrates a basic error of thinking among many who are those who don't like the law. Does the fact that the Old Covenant has been abolished mean that all of the laws and commandments of the Old Testament have been abolished? No, they've not all been abolished. It was an agreement with Israel. The covenant has been abolished, but the laws of God have not been abolished. How do you explain all of that? How do we determine which laws we live by and which laws we put on the shelf? Because they don't need to be used anymore. As I said, we'll deal with that the next time I speak here. And maybe you already know it, probably already know it today, but it's something to study because it's an important point that people do not understand about us. So, hope you have a good day.